Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 8th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 11, year B. Our readings for today, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 14a, Psalm 89, verses 20 to 37. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 34 and 53 to 56. Let us pray. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. We need not fear because His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace because His Spirit is with us. So we can rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. We travel in faith. His Spirit is with us. Lord, you are more gracious than we can imagine. You are more holy than we will ever grasp. You are overflowing in majesty that leaves us breathless. You are almighty in ways beyond our comprehension. You are all-loving beyond our expectations. You require us to seek justice in ways that challenge us. You demand that our lives and our lifestyle always bring you honor and glory. You alone are our Savior, our Lord and our Master, and there is no doubt. We offer you here and now more than mere words, but lips of praise, not only sounds of worship, but the adoration of hearts that long to know you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we confess that everything belongs to you. We praise you because you hold the whole world in your hands. But we worship you because you hold us. We have come to give you glory, to welcome the King of Glory, and to invite the Lord of Glory to be at the heart of our worship and the center of our lives. We also confess that we have no right to be here, that there is nothing in our lives that make us worthy to be welcomed into your presence. No reason why you should love us or forgive us. You are the King of Glory. You are also the Prince of Peace. You are the Sovereign Lord. You are also the God of Grace. Speak to us, your servants, that our praise may flow from this place in songs of joy and live lives lived for your glory. Amen. And we have the hymn, CPWI, 221. Thank you. We pray the collect for proper 11, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask, and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and mercifully give us those things which for unworthiness we dare not, and for blindness we cannot ask. Through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time. That we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, A Temple for the Lord. a temple for the Lord. David, a man after God's own heart, was firmly established as king of a united Israel. God gave him victory over his enemies. Therefore, Israel, after centuries of unrest and war, was experiencing a period of peace. There was contentment and prosperity in the land. David, in his love for God, realized that he was living in a fine house of cedar, where the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence among God's people, stays in a tent. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. David, believing in his heart that this was not right, since God was the true king of Israel, desired to build a temple to house the ark. He consulted the prophet Nathan, who said to him, "Go, do all that you have in your mind, for the Lord is with you." 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. One can only imagine David's joy, and we can be sure that he started imagining what the house of the Lord would look like. It would be outstanding. It would be magnificent, a fit and proper place for the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence with God's people. A far cry from the tent in which it was now residing. However, even as David dreamed about his house for the Lord, the writer of 2 Samuel tells us that that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. The Lord proceeded to tell the prophet Nathan to remind King David of all God had done for him, raising him up from shepherd boy to shepherd king, giving him victory over all his enemies, and giving him a great name like the name of the great ones over the earth. Verse 9. Then God goes on to set out God's plan for David and for a house in God's name. God sends God's plan for David via the prophet Nathan. God said, "Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house in my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11b to 14a. David, on receiving that response from God, must have been very disappointed that he was not to build a house for the Lord. However, he was obedient to the heavenly command. The word of God in 1 Kings tells us that David's successor, his son Solomon, took 7 years and built a magnificent temple to the Lord. A building whose beauty was unmatched in its time and even today. However, by the time of Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of Babylon, Solomon's temple, instead of being a house of the Lord, became a place of worship for foreign gods. God said to the prophet Ezekiel, "Do you see what they're doing? The great abominations that the house of Israel are committing here to drive me far from my sanctuary?" Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 6. So God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the temple, which had become a place where Israel offered sacrifices to foreign gods and neglected the God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. A second temple was built, and that was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, after the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, the focus on the temple was the offering of sacrifices, especially on the Day of Atonement. Since Jesus was to make that one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, in his ministry, Jesus sought to change the focus on the temple from a place of offering sacrifices into a place of prayer. A place where believers could focus on and be in touch with God through prayer. Matthew records that as Jesus drove out the money changers and those who sold doves for sacrifices, he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. Jesus, as he carried out his ministry of reconciliation of God to humankind and of humankind to God, brought Jews and Gentiles into a new relationship with God. In today's epistle from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually in a dwelling place for God." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. At baptism, we receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. We belong to God. We are part of God's household, and God dwells in us. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, reminds us all of that truth. Paul writes, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You are God's temple. God's temple is holy. I am God's temple. I am called to holiness. The temple, the house of the Lord, is the place where God dwells, and God dwells in us. So we need to ask ourselves seriously, what kind of temple are we providing for the Lord? Is it a temple where other gods reside? Is it a temple where idols reign? The idol of lust or anger or greed or envy? Is it a temple dedicated to God? where only the one true God is worshipped, adored, and honored? Is it a temple where God reigns supreme, where God's will is done at all times, even if, like David, it goes against our will? The hymn writer reminds us that God's Spirit is in my heart. He has called me and set me apart. One of the important lessons we have learned in this pandemic is that the church building is where God's people gather. The place where God dwells is in our heart. Therefore, when we cannot gather, God is still with us, for God dwells in us. We are therefore called to be holy, for God is holy. We are called to be love, as God is love. We are called to justice, for God is a God of justice. We are called to show mercy, as God shows mercy. As the Holy Spirit dwells in us, as we are temples of the Holy Spirit, dwelling places of God, we must allow the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts, words, and actions, to enable us to be true people of God, dwelling places of the Holy Spirit, true temples of the Lord. Christ has taught us that there is no need to build a temple of stone for God to dwell in. Through the Holy Spirit, God dwells in the hearts of those who believe. We are therefore called to reflect on God's presence in our lives by our thoughts, words, and actions. It is a call to be holy, as our Heavenly Father is holy, that is, consecrated and set aside for God's work in whatever part of God's vineyard we find ourselves. The poet hymn writer William Cowper sums it up for us in my favorite hymn, CPWI 533. Oh, for a closer walk with God. William Cowper writes in the third verse, "Return, O holy dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame. So pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. I am a temple of the Lord, and I will live as his temple." Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you have made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless until we find rest in you. Give us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no self-passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness from doing it, but that in your light we may see light, and in your service find perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O eternal God, who has taught us by your holy word that our bodies are a temple of your Spirit, keep us, we humbly beseech you, temperate and holy in thought, word, and deed, that at the last we, with all the pure in heart, may see you and be made like you in your heavenly kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, Lord, Prepare Me. Thank you. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go in peace, and may the wisdom of the wonderful Counselor guide you, the strength of the mighty God defend you, the love of the everlasting Father enfold you, the peace of the Prince of Peace be upon you, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and forevermore. Amen. And we wish you a very spirit-filled, rewarding, and productive week. Remember, worship, wash your hands, wear your mask, watch your distance. Please be safe.